This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tishao Eek and Shamla Gunnison. So, excuse us, a couple of stories today as always. And in our first story, scientists have strong evidence that the last mass extinction, which wiped out almost all animal and plant species on the planet, including non-avian dinosaurs, was caused by a sharp rise in ocean acidity. But it gets worse. Apparently, ocean acidification is happening again today. Are we doomed for extinction?
That's a question I want answered. So this is something that I came across in the last few days, and it's really been making the rounds on social media. And it's a theory of what happened to the dinosaurs. More than a theory, really. It's a study by Yale University scientists, which present pretty solid evidence to explain what happened to cause the last great mass extinction in our history. It's known as the Cretaceous Paleogene Extinction Event, or the KPG mass extinction, if you didn't already know that.
Yes, I mean, it's, you know, at my fingertips. So the part that we do know, right? So 66 million years ago, an asteroid slammed into Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period, and the impact, measuring approximately 100 million megatons, devastated the Gulf of Mexico region, specifically the Yucatan Peninsula. So the impact would have been, you know, massive, right? Shockwaves, air blast, earthquakes, and tsunamis. And as the peninsula is an accumulation of dead coral and other sea life, all that organic material is rich in nitrogen and sulfur. So the impact would have caused all of this material to disintegrate into dust and fall back onto Earth as nitric oxide and sulfuric acid.
Literally like brimstone.
Raining and, brimstone, yeah. And all of these effects wiped out roughly 75% of the animal and plant species on the planet, including whole groups like the non-avian dinosaurs and the Ammonites. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, and two extremes of animal species. If you think about it, ammonites are these mollusks, right? And then you have these massive dinosaurs.
Yes, all going.
And when I, you know, I've never read much into it, but whenever I thought about the great mass extinction, which obviously I spent a lot of time thinking about.
Do we all?
I never thought beyond perhaps the asteroid was so large, the impact was so huge that it just literally, you know, through physical impact, killed the animals.
Just obliterated everything, right?
But, you know, I don't know if, and obviously it can't be physically possible for the asteroid impact to do that.
So it's actually a slow process. I mean, obviously, life in the site of the impact would have been immediately obliterated, but for the rest of the these beings to be wiped out would have...
And many species, right?
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of species across a long period of time as well. And I've always wondered, you know, I guess beyond that, the physical impact of the asteroid, what actually happened?
Yeah, and the answer is in the ocean, actually. Or rather, tiny plankton called Phora minifera that lived in the seas millions of years ago. So Phora minifera are like chemical time capsules. They have an amazingly complete fossil record going back hundreds of millions of years. And by looking at the chemical composition of these fossils, scientists can get an idea of the marine conditions in that time.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And where they found these Phora minifera fossils is really key to understanding the extinction event. So the researchers from Yale went to a cave in the Netherlands where these fossils were preserved, and they collected more than 7,000 of them, and they're tiny, each measuring half the size of a grain of sand. Yes. And the lead author of the paper, Dr. Michael Heenahan, was part of the team that collected these fossils. And here he is, all the way from the GFZ, German Research Center for Geosciences, explaining what they looked for in these fossils.
But what we present in this paper is a record of boron isotopes measured in foraminifera over the Cretaceous-Paleogene boundary. So the Cretaceous-Paleogene boundary is the site of the last great mass extinction event. The reason why we do this is that we know from experiments with modern foraminifera that there's a predictable relationship between the boron isotope composition of the foraminifera and the pH of the ocean that they grew in. And because the pH of the ocean reflects the atmospheric CO2 content at the time, you can also use this to reconstruct atmospheric CO2 levels through time. And so that's what we did over the Cretaceous Paleogene boundary. In terms of our main findings, so we found just before the asteroid impact, the environmental effects of Deccan volcanism seemed to have been mitigated, and the Earth was getting back to normal, if you like, when this asteroid struck. And what we could show with boron isotopes was that the asteroid impact itself caused a drop in the ocean's pH of about 0.25 pH units, which doesn't sound like a lot, but to an organism that's having to make its shell out of calcium carbonate, that could be quite a sizable amount.
Well, that was quite a lot to absorb, wasn't it? And lots of terms that you may not be familiar with. So I asked Dr. Hinhan to explain more about what boron is in the first place and why it was important to study ocean acidification.
We used a technique called boron isotope geochemistry, which is measuring the chemistry of boron, which is an element which is accidentally incorporated into calcium carbonate shells. So the organisms we studied were foraminifera. They're a type of plankton that make their shells out of calcium carbonate. And as they grow, they incorporate a certain amount of boron into their shells. And you can measure the isotope ratio of that boron to tell you the pH of the ocean. And so that allowed us to see that there was a big drop in ocean pH at the event. And there are other lines of evidence also for ocean acidification. And indeed, many people for years have predicted that there might have been some ocean acidification associated with the Cretaceous-Paleogene extinction because of the fact that organisms that make their shells out of calcium carbonate, which are the ones that are the most vulnerable to ocean acidification, that these groups were more affected by extinction than other groups that make their shells out of other things or indeed don't have shells at all. So that suggested already that there could have been some ocean acidification associated with the asteroid impact. And indeed, it's nice that our boron isotope data are the first sort of conclusive proof that that was indeed the case.
Dr. Hanahan's team also investigated how marine life eventually recovered from the mass extinction event. Here he explains how they studied that.
The other component of the paper was that we incorporated these findings into mathematical models, Earth system models, that represent a lot of the biological and non-biological processes that operate on Earth and that regulate atmospheric CO2 levels and Earth's climate. And what we could do is show how life recovered after the impact. So what we initially saw was that there was a period of about 40,000 years or so where essentially photosynthesis in the oceans by photosynthetic plankton was reduced by about a half. So very rapid acidification from the asteroid impact and the extinction of those species as a result took quite a long time for things to recover from. And then even beyond that 40,000-year period, even when photosynthesis in general in the ocean seemed to pick up back to normal, then the modelling that we did showed that normal function of the biological carbon cycle had not quite returned and didn't return for some hundreds of thousands of years.
So the findings on this mass extinction isn't just interesting trivia for dinosaur geeks. I mean, enthusiasts, of course. It's significant for our survival today. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, they have found that our oceans are experiencing acidification now due to the ocean absorbing between 20 and 30% of human-induced carbon dioxide emissions since the 1980s. And the IPCC special report also warns that continued carbon uptake by the ocean by the year 2100 will exacerbate ocean acidification.
So I asked Dr. Hinahan whether we should be worried about this kind of acidification we're seeing today. And is this occurring in the same magnitude as the acidification that his team sort of measured to have occurred during the KPG extinction?
So that's a really good question. And the answer, unfortunately, is not immediately. We cannot be certain at this stage. And the reason for that is that our acidification event of about 2.25 pH units was taken from a clay layer, which we think was laid down within 100 or possibly up to 1,000 years after the asteroid impact itself. And the problem is that the timescale is really critical here. So the asteroid hit calcium sulfate-rich rocks, which rained out sulfuric acid from the sky. And the effect of that would have been felt most strongly within the first few years to tens of years after the impact. So unless we were capturing those first tens of years after the impact with our samples, then the likelihood is the 0.25 unit pH excursion we see is a minimum estimate of how big the acidification event was. On the other side of the coin, if our samples came from 1,000 years after the asteroid impact, then the chances are by 1,000 years, much of the acidification effects of the asteroid impact would have worn off by then. So the problem is for us is trying to constrain these timescales and to constrain between 100 years and 1,000 years, all of 66 million years ago, as you would imagine, is incredibly difficult to do. But certainly, I think one safe take-home point from this, besides anything else, is the take-home point that ocean acidification can cause mass extinction events. And so that in itself should basically tell us that we should be taking this problem seriously.
So then, does this mean we're headed for another mass extinction?
I would say we can't be absolutely certain what the maximum pH drop at the KPG boundary was. So I think certainly if the IPCC predictions for the end of the century are accurate, I think the magnitude of pH there would be larger than the magnitude of a pH excursion that we see at the Cretaceous Paleogene boundary. And that in itself could well tell you that yes, we should be worried about stressing calcifying organisms. Then we would have to worry indeed that there would be knock-on effects in terms of other extinctions in other groups. But I think one thing to take home is that ocean acidification didn't and isn't today operating only on its own. So at the Cretaceous, with the asteroid impact, you also had an impact winter, so cooling due to the dust thrown into the atmosphere, potentially even darkening for a few years after the impact. And potentially all sorts of other drivers that have been put forward, that maybe even heavy metal accumulation in some areas of the ocean might have added to the stress that was being experienced by organisms at the time. And I would say that we can take from that also for our current extinction, that we should be thinking not only about ocean acidification, but also the other environmental disturbances that we are causing that go alongside it. A warming, intense bleaching events due to like, for example, El Nino events. When you add to it overfishing, which are changing the ecological balance of these habitats, and pollution due to things like microplastics or indeed eutrophication, so nutrient runoff into coral reef systems, for example, that would make their life significantly more difficult and would make it much more difficult for them to survive. So as much as this highlights that ocean acidification is an extinction mechanism, I would say that we shouldn't focus only on that, but remember that nothing acts in isolation in an ecosystem and different environmental factors come into play and interplay with each other.
So that was Dr. Michael Hinehan, lead author of this study, and he's currently with GFZ, German Research Center for Geosciences, where he studies geochemistry and paleoclimatology. And so to sum up, there's a lot to take in there and to understand. But, you know, if I could simplify it in a way at the risk of oversimplification, the asteroid impact 66 million years ago led to several environmental effects, one of which was the acidification of oceans. And what they've been able to observe was a reduction of pH level by 0.25 units. And as the oceans became more acidic, certain types of marine life could not survive. And because they were the basis of the food chain, they led to extinctions of other species in the ecosystem. I mean, I know that's oversimplification, but
you make that sound so clear. Now I get it.
That
is in essence what happened.
Hmm. The ocean acidification also likely worsened other sweeping environmental changes that was caused by the impact, such as the years-long darkness caused by the orbiting debris and ash from the global wildfires. And this could explain the extinction of up to 3/4 of life on Earth, which included the dinosaurs. So creatures that are about a million times larger and more complex than the Foraminifera.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big leap of logic, I guess. Even if we can understand what happened to the creatures, which the shell creatures, right, which are most heavily impacted by the acidification of the oceans, it's a big leap to understand what happened to the dinosaurs, for instance, which is what I'm most interested in.
enthusiast.
but Juliet, as Earth Matters producer, and this is the kind of thing you talk about all the time. Yes. Well, not the dinosaurs so much.
I didn't miss the show on the dinosaurs.
Obviously, I'm lacking in that.
But the impact on oceans, the impact of the climate crisis on oceans, for one. And if we have a better understanding that this is exactly the kind of thing that leads to a mass extinction of life on Earth, do you think it's going to make people sit up?
No.
Okay.
I know. It's so cynical, and I hate to do this on a cynical note. It's just that there's so much information out there about how everything bad is happening and we are headed to disaster, right? Mm-hmm. That I really think a lot of people are just shutting it off. They're not listening anymore. Of course, there is a group of people who are, you know, people like yourself, Sherry, you know, but I think the majority of people said there's just too much. They're just inundated with this information, and that
I can't deal.
I can't deal with this. I'm just going to live my life anyway. It probably won't happen in my lifetime. Mm. I really.
We did get a WhatsApp in from someone who pointed out that ocean acidification is also responsible for damaging coral reefs.
Yes, that's why you mentioned bleaching earlier.
Yeah. So I think sometimes, of course, it's also about making it relatable, right? Because so much information feels so remote. And it, like you said, then we get so much of it as well that sometimes it's easy to feel like there's too much and there's nothing I can do anyway. It doesn't relate to me.
But I do like that, you know, he is trying to, I mean, showing how history can and will repeat itself. But I mean, I think even in the spheres of politics, we're seeing that people just don't take those lessons. They don't listen to those lessons.
We're just squarely focused on the present and nothing else, really.
But I'm going to go home today and try telling this story to my son.
Yeah.
You know those dinosaurs you like so much? You know, this is what happened to them.
And I think that age group, they will understand it better or absorb it better they're not inundated with everything else around them. So perhaps they are the future, lah. They are the ones that are going to save us, hopefully.
More Greta Thunbergs around, hopefully.
Yeah, but that shouldn't, you know, take away from us acting as well. So, ending on a cynical note there. But do keep the conversation going. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a short break, but now here's Tiny by Dinosaur Jr. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.